May be seated. In the name of Jesus. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus was baptized. First, he's in the manger, and he's starting to grow, baptized. The Spirit comes, and some of you filled out, hey, where were you baptized on the baptismal board? And now he's sent out to start his ministry. But first, it's a time of centering himself, including temptation. Temptation. A part of our journey. Let's warm up with this little story about a little boy who, after school every day, passed a little lake. And it was really hot, and he just had to dive in for a little dip. And when he came home, his dad noticed his wet pants. Son, where have you been? I thought I told you it's too dangerous to swim by yourself. But Dad, I was tempted by the devil. His father said, son, next time you are tempted by the devil, tell him, no, get behind me, Satan. Well, the very next day, it was a scorcher. And when the boy passed the lake after school, he couldn't help it. He just had to jump in again. Upon seeing his wet pants, his father was greatly disappointed and asked him why he had disobeyed again. The boy answered, well, when the devil came to tempt me, I did say, no, get behind me, you devil. And then he went behind me, and he pushed me in the water. Temptation number one. According to our gospel, Jesus fasted 40 days and nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. As I understand it, a popular diet these days is intermittent fasting, whereby people don't eat for a long stretch of the day, maybe even long stretch of the week. I could not be one of these people. I'm so impressed by you folks who, for physical or spiritual reasons, can fast for a while. I think 24 hours was my max for a fundraiser years ago. I can't believe Jesus did it for 40 days. Could any of us blame him for green lighting stones for bread? I mean, 40 days for Noah, 40 years of wandering for the Israelites, having finished. He was done with his 40 days of temptation. Hadn't our spiritual marathon man cross the finish line? Wouldn't it be okay if he just had the Gatorade and had some of this bread that his body craved? But Jesus says, no. Quoting scripture, it is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Were any of you taught when you were little or at some point to memorize this, to have it rattle in your head? With the song, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. And I think this verse went, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Alleluia, alleluia. In a world where about third of humanity goes to bed hungry every night, or in Haiti where two meals a day is wonderful, or even if you're blessed with three meals a day in a perpetually packed refrigerator, Jesus argues food alone will not sustain you. Even if I consume five meals a day but don't have love, to paraphrase St. Paul, I will be hungry. And my soul will rumble. One of the cool realities that we celebrate in our annual report that I hope all of you at least skimmed, if not read, word for word, as it was sent to you via email these last couple weeks, and that with our council leadership is going to unpack for us, give us a few highlights at our annual meeting in just a moment, was the data point that we were up almost 4% in worship in 2019 over 2018. And I want to congratulate you on that. I want to say thank you for your commitment to make that happen. To me, I think it is us telling Jesus that we believe what he teaches, that we cannot live without God's word as a part of our weekly diet, that we see in God's third command to keep the Sabbath day, God opening up the gospel kitchen to feed his people in special ways through the lyrics of the songs, through the reading of the lessons, through the preaching of the sermons we pray, the conversations and the laughter that takes place in the hallways, the distribution of the Holy Supper, the confession of sin, the claiming of forgiveness, and all the other rich entrees that Chef Holy Spirit cooks up when we gather in this very unique way each Sabbath. In worship, we acknowledge to God that we can go ahead and feed our kids nothing but vegetables all week long, but they will still be malnourished without being fed and formed in weekly worship by a God who loves, claims, and equips them. Our kids can learn all kinds of sports and dance moves and art forms, but they will still be ill-prepared for our crazy world and all the devils of temptation that await without being mentored first deeply into the ways of forgiveness, the fruits of the Spirit, the essential nutrition of Jesus' faith and hope and love. Give us today our daily bread. A 4% increase in consuming God's word last year. Way to go, COS. Could we go another 4 or 5% this year? Could each one of you think about who you would invite, specifically this year, when you've got your champagne on New Year's this December? Wouldn't it be great to toast to the person who, at this point, was unconnected, but thanks to your invite and your encouragement, started to feast on the grace of Jesus. Last November, at the conclusion of that two-week seminar with other pastors in Wittenberg, Germany, as part of the sabbatical you gave me, I added just one day so that I could go and worship with a German pastor friend that I had met years ago. And so I showed up at the car rental place for the little two-hour drive that I needed to make, and their stock was very, very low. They did not have any of the little cheapo small cars that I had reserved, and so I guess they were forced to give me a pretty nice German car. Some of you know that there are stretches on the German highways or Autobahn where the speed limit is generous. Well, I hit one of those, and in this German car, temptation came calling. I could drag this story out for a bit, but let me just say, 114 miles per hour. And I know some of you have gone faster. Was I tempted into sheer recklessness? I tried to explain to Luann. No, I wasn't. I mean, if I was in America, if this were Route 74, even 85, yeah, that's another story. But in Germany, I was responsible. I would have been rude had I not gone that fast that day. I didn't think it was crazy. I tell you what's crazy is the devil's second temptation. Taking Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and saying to him, hey, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Go big or go home. Now to me, I mean, this is a crazy high school dare. But the devil might have said, hey, who knows? I get people to do stupid stuff all the time. So I had to give it a shot with Jesus. No, I think that was one of the easier ones. The real temptation, in my opinion, in the second round is the devil's strategy. He did what? Satan actually quotes Scripture. Psalm 91 in this case, if you check it out, to encourage Jesus. Throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. There it is. Psalm 91, black and white. So shouldn't you believe it, Jesus? Doesn't this give you fuel in your tank? Nope. Because Jesus knows you cannot take Scripture out of context. Jesus knows that when God in Psalm 91 talked about the angels lifting you up, that they were words of comfort for God's people in very difficult times. They were not justification for Jesus to take a double dog dare on a Son of God joyride jumping from the top of the temple. You know, this year, we get to celebrate 50 years of women serving as ordained clergy in the Lutheran Church. It's wonderful, and we'll have to figure out what we do to lean into that a bit. But let's face it, there are some scriptures, some verses that, if used in isolation, could make life very difficult for that decision. For instance, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34. Women should be silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak. Or how about people with tattoos? Maybe some of you in this room. For someone could quote Leviticus 19, verse 28. You shall not make any gashes in your flesh or tattoo any marks upon you. How should we handle unruly children, especially when they sass us? Exodus 21, verse 17 says, whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. Who knows what we remember from all the preachers in our lives, but I would really be pleased that if in the future you would say, you know, I just remember Pastor Fritz a lot of times quoting Martin Luther's encouragement that in all the decisions of life, including how we look at Scripture, that we've got to see them all through the lens of all of Scripture and not just a few verses. And especially that we would make our decisions through the lens of Jesus. And here, in the heart of Wittenberg, in St. Mary's, on the altar, as part of the triptych, you see Martin Luther preaching always through Jesus. What did Jesus say about the issue? How does our issue fit into Jesus' main themes of love and worship and relationships and covenant? Jesus does not allow Satan to cherry pick a scripture verse and twist it into an excuse to stray from what Jesus knows are God's great commands, the great life compasses, to love God with all your heart, to love your neighbor as yourself, to build upon those principles is the way to go. Well, finally, friends, how about temptation number 3? The devil showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor, and he said to them, all of these I'm going to give you if you just fall down and worship me right now. No big deal. At this point, I'd like you to imagine two crowns. The first one is gold, and it sparkles with sapphires and diamonds. But even more than those, it sparkles with potential. The potential, if you wear it, to have your way with any situation.
And think about it.
You would have the ability to not only enjoy yourself, but to fix life's problems the way you think best. You could rationalize that offer, couldn't you? And Jesus knows that if he passes on the door number one crown, that he is going to be stuck in 3 short years with the door number two crown, which is the crown of thorns that will pierce his head on the way to crucifixion. Let's talk, in order to unpack this, just about astronomy for a second. For the majority of world history, humans believed in a geocentric model, right? Believing that everything revolved around what? Planet Earth. Us. Oh, doesn't that sound great? Everything revolving around us. So when scientists proposed a heliocentric reality, where we are no longer the center of things, but the sun is, we did what to those scientists at first? We persecuted them. We demanded they recant because we like the idea that we are the center of all things. When Satan came to Adam and Eve with a proposition that they could move closer to the center of power with greater wisdom, greater knowledge, greater position, they bit right away. But out in the wilderness, when Satan gave Jesus a chance to trade in his crown of thorns for a crown of his own influence, how could he not be tempted? But Jesus spoke, "Away with you, Satan, for it's written, worship the Lord your God, serve only him." Jesus knew that real pleasure and power in this life come in trusting that this is God's world. It is so tempting, as Adam and Eve found out, to try to make it our world and get things moving according to our timetable, to make it Fritz-centric or Julie-centric or John-centric. So, thanks to all of you who with great courage say with Jesus, "The fullness of my purpose comes when I don't listen to what others tempt me to be, but when I trust to be the person God wants me to be. To play the role, as Jesus did, that God gives me to be of service, to be of good cheer, even though I don't fully understand the plan, to fight the good fight. Trusting that our Heavenly Father has my back in a much grander way than I could ever devise for myself. And that things revolve much more joyfully when I worship God at the center instead of trying to usurp the reins like Adam and Eve." Temptation. It's part of your spiritual journey. It is part of your life. It's a big deal. And like the little boy in the joke, the devil might even be behind you to push you into things every once in a while. It was so tough on Jesus that he did what? He made it a part of the prayer he teaches you. Lead us not into temptation. But when you do face it, remember, like Jesus did in his 3 rounds of battle, use God's word and God's promises to help guide your way, and you will do all right. And even when you stumble, Jesus will be there to pick you up. In his strong name,